About a week, 2 weeks ago, I shared in the holidays that I felt God saying to me, I must seek him, that he wanted to be a friend of mine. And that to me was a bit of a challenge because many times we become very familiar with our friends. And that I felt for me, God said to me that to build relationship with him, there are five things that I need to do is pray, spend time in the word, praise, worship, and have a clean heart. And then with this clean heart, there were many things that I realized that God is actually doing in my heart to cleanse my heart. And last year, it felt to me like I was so embarrassed because there was sin surfacing that I wasn't aware of. And I really felt really convicted about that. But it felt to me now like God is really cleansing me of that. And it wasn't something that I did, but it's something that God is supernaturally doing in my life. Gustav, last 2 weeks ago, gave me a book of David Wilkinson, the man who wrote the book Switchblade and the Cross. But it's on a hunger for Jesus. And he's also got a chapter there on a perfect heart. And when I read it, I also there was a few things that really opened up in my mind about who God wants us to be and just building relationship with him. On the pastor summit, there was a doctor, his name is Yanni Buerta, who came to share with us on marriage. That is his speciality. But he was also on Kampstaldraad with the Springboks some time ago, but a very funny guy. But he said marriage is an uphill and that you don't stagnate in your marriage. You either go forward or you go backwards. And he and his wife put certain gates that you will only, if you want to stagnate, you'll only go as far as the last gate that you put on your path. And he and his wife pray together every night. Once a week, they share, and every member of the family, but it's only now him and his wife, can share from their heart, but the other person is not allowed to retaliate. So everyone gets the opportunity to say exactly what they feel. And then he said something very funny. He said, but they do it naked because you're more exposed then. And we really laughed. And Pastor Fred still asked him, and your kids, were they naked as well? That was very funny. But then once a year, they go on a five-star holiday. They save for it, and they've got a life goal. They've got a year goal, and then they go and they plan the next year goal and they see if they achieve their year goal for that year as well. And then they plan and they still see if they're still on track for their life goal. So it was very interesting to see how this man was talking. And I just felt my relationship with Jesus is exactly like my relationship with my wife. You actually have to work on it. In the first year that we were married, it was two, 3 years actually before the kids were born, I enjoyed it so much. You know, I couldn't sleep. Like I get for your vrou die altyd. It was really amazing when I just got married. And when people said, you have to work at your marriage, I thought, how can you work at your marriage? And I think many people, when you say you've got to work in a relationship with Jesus, I think, how do you do that? But I think after time, there come a time when you actually have to work in your relationship with Jesus just to bring up that first love that you had for him in your marriage. And this is just something that I felt God was saying to me as well. There's something that this Yanni shared with us as well. He said his wife, he realized that he need to do things with his wife, and she said they must go to gym together. But he's quite a big man. He's about that tall. I think he weighs about 120 kilograms, but he looks like a big teddy bear. And his wife wanted them to go to gym, but it's on a Monday night, and Monday night is his busiest day with counseling because he counsels people all the time. And he said, at 4 o'clock, his wife stops in front of his office, and then he hears a hoot, and then he takes his little talk bag, he gets into the car, he dresses himself, and then they go to gym, and then he describes it like this. You know, he do his session, and then half an hour later, he gets into the car, he gets showered, gets back, and he goes for his next session, 2 hours. And he said that one day, this lady is wanting to commit suicide. She's really in a bad place, and he hears his wife stop, and he hears, toot-toot. And this woman is crying, and he knows he can't leave her like this. And then he hears, toot, 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 toot. And he talks to her, and then he hears, toot, 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 toot. And then, you know, but 5 minutes later, he's in the car, and he's getting dressed, and he says his wife is doing this. And then he's turned around to her, and he shouted, shut up. And he said, you pastor's probably never done that. But we're all really like taken in by this man. And he said, now they're doing the gym, and this gym instructor said, En wat is fout met die botas vandag? And he wanted to kill this guy because they were very unhappy. And he said, there's two things that he hate, coming home at home when it's dark, coming home when it's dark, and eating alone. That night he came home, it was dark. He came to the kitchen, there was, and normally his wife, when she's upset with him, she put the food on the microwave. That night there wasn't even food for him. He said, only the Tuesday he could say, I'm sorry. And when he said he's sorry, his heart was cleansed. And then she only could manage to say, I'm sorry, on the Thursday. And he said, that's fine. And then she said, why did you take so long to forgive me? But he said, as soon as you ask for forgiveness, your own heart is actually cleansed. And so my whole sermon is about how our heart is. And I shared with you Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, make all your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Once again, there's a place that God wants us, our hearts, to be guarded. Now, we many times talk very lightly about giving our heart to Jesus, and it is a people gave their hearts to the Lord, but what we don't always understand is that it is a commitment that you make. With me and Lynette, when we got married, our marriage wasn't that day that we got married. It's a life of commitment to one another. And it's the same when you gave your heart to Jesus, it's a life of commitment to who Jesus is. And we've got to grow in our relationship with Jesus so that our hearts can be pure before Him. Jesus said that we must count the cost before we come to Him, and I think many times when we lead someone to the Lord, we never tell them it's not going to be just sunshine and roses. There's going to be tough times, but the reward is amazing to be a Christian. John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot come into the kingdom of God. God saying we must be born again. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. With your heart one believes and is justified, and with your mouth one confesses and is saved. So I just want to make it clear that we are saved because you take a decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ and not because of the works that we do. But after that, there is a place where we build relationship, and there is some effort that we need to do from that. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And I've seen many Christians over the years who they were very passionate, they got baptized, and then they just float away. And it's almost like, and I believe what happens is, people don't allow God to cleanse their hearts. And then halfway they get upset, and their hearts get hardened, and they get disillusioned, and then they move away. They move away from God. A hardened heart. I want to encourage you to come to intercession. My sermon was this Friday morning was confirmed again. Eugene saw he had a dream of people with black hearts, and they were criticizing the other people because they had black hearts. And he just said he feels that God is saying that there are many people with offense. And I also said, but you know, offense and unforgiveness is very similar, and it's all rooted in pride. But offense is when you have an expectation that someone will act in a certain way to you. And then when they don't do that, you actually get upset and you get offended with that person. But the thing is, you started putting your trust in that person and not in God. And that's why we take offense to them. And then when you take offense, your heart is actually starting to harden. And through sin and through a few other things as well, when we enter into sin. And this David Wilkinson said as well that, you know, many preachers, many people don't want to hear a message where they preach about sin because they feel condemned and they walk away. But it's actually because we can't stop sinning in our own strength. It's impossible. It's only Jesus that can cleanse our hearts. It's impossible for us to do it. But sometimes you need to know that there are certain things that's wrong in your life so that you can bring it before God so that He can cleanse your heart for you. And I think it's important that we sometimes mention sin and say sin is wrong. We must not sin because it will draw you away from God. Proverbs 4 verse 24 says, keep your heart with all vigilance. From it flows the springs of life. That we just protect our hearts, that our hearts do not get hardened. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says that, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. And I just feel that if you have a hardened heart, you're actually breaking down his temple. And that's why we must come before God and ask him to cleanse us. And how do we do that? We just come before God and say, God, I have sinned. Forgive me. Forgive me of this sin. I'm struggling with this. Forgive me. Acts 8 verse 22 says, repent therefore of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intents of your heart may be forgiven you. Now, for me, I just felt to, and for me, I also just went to God, and I want you also to be bold and ask God to test your heart, to test your heart to see if there's any hardness in your own heart. I've got a few scriptures. It doesn't look like I've got the scriptures up there. But in Jeremiah, it just says that God tested the heart and mind. In Jeremiah 12 verse 3, he says, he tests my heart towards you. Jeremiah 20 verse 12, he says, the Lord of hosts who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind. Okay, it is there. I didn't want to read all of them. So there's five questions that I want to ask you tonight, and I just want to go through those five questions. The first one, are you seeking Jesus with all your heart, with a hunger to know more of him? The second question is, do you love Jesus, and do you love all people like you love yourself? The third question is, do you trust Jesus with all your heart? Do you put your trust completely in him? The fourth question is, do you easily get offended, or you struggle to forgive people? Do you get upset with people when they don't meet your expectation? In other words, do you have a broken and a contrite heart? And then the fifth one is, do you have a pure heart, or do you struggle with sin? Okay, the first question is, are you seeking Jesus? Deuteronomy 4 verse 29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. According to David Wilkinson as well, he said many Christian leaders, they know the scripture and they study all the old leaders. They know the word, but they don't know Jesus. And I think this is because they don't seek him. And there's a difference between reading about God and really knowing God and entering into his presence because you have relationship with him. And I want to ask you the question to test if there's hardness in your heart. The question I want to ask you, are you passionate about Jesus? Are you crazy for Jesus? Do you seek Jesus with all your heart? If just make a mental note, if you feel maybe the Holy Spirit is saying to you at this moment, okay, there's something that you know that we're going to bring it before God a little bit later. The second question is, do you love Jesus? Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and these words I command you today shall be on your heart. Colossians 3 verse 14 and 15, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Desiree, on Friday morning, I want to encourage you once again to come to intercession. She prayed the following. I don't know if you know Leo Giglio, but he's got a DVD on laminin, and how laminin holds the body or the cells of the body together. But laminin looks like a cross. It's an amazing teaching. And then he says that Jesus holds everything together. He holds the universe together. He holds our body together. It's an amazing teaching. But then she prayed that as laminin holds the body together, so love holds the body of Christ together. And that she prayed that God will just bring love into our body. And as it says here, put on your love, who binds everything together in perfect harmony. Then 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12 to 13 says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another, and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. In that place where we love one another, God is actually starting to make our hearts blameless. He's starting to create a new heart in us. Now, the second question I want to ask you, and make a mental note if God is saying to you, but do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus with all your heart? And then do you love people, all people, as you love yourself? The third one, do I trust in Jesus? Do you trust that God is in total, total control of your life? That in everything, God knows the best for you? That whatever you do, God knows exactly what is right for you? Do you totally believe that in your life? Do you trust and declare every day of your life that God is in control of your life? Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your ways straight. Psalm 37 verse 3 and 4, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mark 11 verse 23 says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. That is this place where you totally distrust in God. And Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in him in all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God wants us to trust in him completely. He doesn't want us to trust in our own abilities, in our friends, in our salaries, in our company that we work for, in our inheritance, in the lotto. He wants us to trust in him completely. Now, the third question I want to ask you tonight is, do you trust in Jesus with all your heart? Then the one that I know God has been working with me is, Jesus, let your will be done. Do you have a broken and a contrite heart? Is your own desire still so important to you, or is God's will more important to you? Are you self-righteous? Is there still pride in your life? Do you get offended easily? Do you struggle to forgive people? Psalm 51 verse 17 says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. And then I just before I came here, I just said in Psalm 34 verse 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as a contrite spirit. On Tuesday, Lynette and I prayed together, and we had a high expectation for this new year. And as we prayed, we were a little bit disillusioned because of what is happening around us at the moment. And when she prayed, it just came out of my spirit. I just said, God is the potter, we are the clay. And then she said, yes, God, you are the potter, we are the clay. And we just prayed a little bit about that. The next morning we got this email from, it's like a daily email, where this person said, when tough things happen with you, it's because God is in control, and he is the potter, and you are the clay. And the scripture that he gave here is Jeremiah 18 verse 6, behold, like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. And I just felt God also saying to me, you cannot do anything with hard clay. If you have hard clay, it's actually worth nothing to anyone. You have to press clay, stretch it, press it together. You have to mold it so that it can become soft, so that you can make something of that clay. And that God is molding our hearts. He's molding us and he's changing us so that our hearts can become broken and contrite before him. So that we can come to the place of Psalm 19 verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now the fourth question I want to ask you tonight is your heart broken and contrite before God? Or do you still have pride? Do you struggle with unforgiveness, with offense? Do you get offended with people? Or do you still have offense in your heart because of maybe what people have done in your life? Then the last question, number five, is your heart pure? Is there sin in your heart? Is there stuff that you are a little bit embarrassed about that you don't want to talk to people about it because you're so embarrassed because of that? Psalm 139 verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." God wants to cleanse our hearts. Matthew 5 verse 8, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If your heart is pure, you'll see God. God will be able to speak to you more. You'll hear his voice more because of a pure heart. And you will know this as well, where your thoughts is, what you think of all day. Because in Matthew 6 verse 21, it says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be as well." So this is already, when you can't focus on what is good, you can already know that there's something wrong. On Friday morning, someone else, I went to a friend of mine, Carl, and they've got a little group of men, and they prayed over every guy that was there. And the one guy prayed, and he said, "This is for all of us, but he feels it's for me." But he was right, it was for me. He said that, "I'm like a geyser, and I want to give water all the time, and I give water all the time. But if I don't allow fresh water to come in, I will burn out. And I must spend time with God so that the fresh water can come in so that I'm able to give." And it's important that we spend time with God so that as we spend time with God, He purifies our hearts. That we don't become like the following, where Jesus said in Matthew 15 verse 8, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And you find that many times people, they speak the right words, but their heart isn't there anymore because their hearts have hardened. They've, in the beginning, they really served God. They knew God very well, but offense and sin and lovelessness and unforgiveness allowed their hearts to be hardened. And they grow cold, and they feel disillusioned. My last question that I'm asking, is your heart pure? Do you have sin that you cannot deal with, sin that is haunting you, that you feeling embarrassed about? We all have that. And I believe this is actually a word for all of us, because we corrupted after the fall. But God said, "Come to me, I want to cleanse you, I want to cleanse your heart." Psalm 51 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." God can only communicate to us through a clean heart, and therefore he wants to come and bring a clean heart in us. Now, the scripture that I want to give to you, and I want you to go and read it if you want to, it's Ezekiel 36, verse 22 to 29. I'm not going to read all of it, but when my grandmother died 3 years ago, I was in Namibia, and when I was praying, I really felt God was saying this to us, first as a family, and then as South Africans as well, because many people are leaving the country, and the scripture says that God will bring us back. He says it's not for our sake that he will do it, but it's for the sake of his holy name, that he will vindicate his holiness of his great name, that he will gather us from countries and bring us into the land. And then he says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses." So in conclusion, I really believe God wants to bless us abundantly, but we sometimes don't allow God to do it because we don't allow him to cleanse our heart, because our hearts has been hardened. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 that no eye has seen, nor heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, he's saying, we have never seen, we've never heard, we can't imagine what God wants to do for us. This is the goodness that God wants to bring for us, and that we sometimes don't get there because our hearts are hardened, and we can't follow God's voice because our heart has been hardened. And many people think the goodness will only come when we die and go to heaven. But in Psalm 27, he says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Okay, that is my message. I just want to pray, and I just want to ask you to close your eyes and just stand with me. And while every eye is closed, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I really just feel that there are maybe someone here who have never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Father, we just come before you and we just bring every heart before you. Father, you know our hearts, Lord. Lord God, we ask you that you will test our hearts, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'll just come and cleanse our hearts before you, Lord. And maybe you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you feel convicted that tonight you want to make a change. You want to move from that place of curse and a dead living to a place of life in the kingdom of God, where you live in a lifestyle where your curse is, you know it's leading to death, but you want to go to a place where it's blessing that leads to life. Maybe you've gone away from God and you've come back and you feel that tonight I want to give my heart to the Lord. I want to make a recommitment to Jesus. That you tonight want to start, you want to be married to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. If that is you, can you just raise your hand? Because I really would like to pray with you. If there's anyone here who feel you want to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. If you feel embarrassed, please come afterwards. Come to me. I really want to pray with you. And then for the rest of us, I want to ask you the five questions again. And while every eye is closed, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but this is, just put your hand up before God. God will see your hand. If you want him to do something in your heart, maybe it's one of the areas, maybe it's all of the areas, maybe it's some of them, maybe it's just to a degree of all of them, but you know God must do a new thing in your heart. I want to ask you again, do you seek Jesus with a hunger to know him? Do you want him to do things for you? Or do you really want to know Jesus intimately? If you know God is convicting you of that, can you just raise your hand? Thank you. You can put down your hand again. Do you struggle to love Jesus? Do you struggle to love him? You find it difficult. You know all the scriptures, but you don't have a love in your heart for Jesus. Or do you struggle to love God's people? Are you struggling to love people? If that is you, can you just raise your hand as well? Thank you, Wee. And then, do you trust Jesus with all your heart? Do you trust him completely, that he's in total control of your life? Or do you still have fear that things will go wrong in your life, that God doesn't like you so much as he liked people around you, that he maybe loves you, but he doesn't like you? If you struggle to put your trust in Jesus, just put your up your hand as well. Thank you. Then the fourth question is your heart broken and contrite before God? Do you easily get offended? Do you struggle to forgive? Do you struggle to forgive people? Do you get upset when I don't meet your expectations? If that is you, can you just raise your hand as well? Thank you. And then the last question is your heart pure before Jesus? Is there maybe some sin that you're struggling with and you just want God to come and cleanse you from that? If you can just raise your hand before Jesus as well. Thank you. We see that. Lord, you saw every hand, Lord. And Father, I bring every person, Lord, that raised their hand, Lord, that made a decision in their hearts, Lord, for you to come and cleanse their hearts tonight, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you will create a clean heart, Lord, and you will renew a right spirit, Lord, in every person who responded to your word tonight, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, that you will come and give them a new heart, Lord, and a new spirit, Lord, that you'll put in them, Lord. That you'll remove the heart of stone from them, their flesh, Lord, and you'll give them a heart of flesh, Lord. And that your spirit will be with them, Lord, and with us, Lord, and we will walk in your statutes, Lord, and we will be careful to obey your rules, Lord. And God, that you'll be our God, Lord, and we will be your children, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your spirit is doing a new thing in our hearts, Lord. Lord God, as Pastor Fred preached this morning, Lord, that the disciples didn't see the miracles, Lord, because of the hardness of heart, Lord. That this year, Lord, we will come before you, Lord, and just have an open, cleansed heart, Lord, to see the works that you are doing, Lord. Because our hearts are pure before you, Lord, we will see the goodness of what you have done, Lord. That we will speak life, Lord. Lord God, that we will protect and guard our hearts, Lord. For out of that spring, the springs of life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can speak life over every heart in this congregation today, Lord. And that we will not be critical anymore, Lord. And there will not be a critical spirit, Lord. But there will be a spirit of God in every heart, Lord. In the temple of God, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will change us, Lord, to bring life, Lord, to this community, Lord, to this country, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that we will go, Lord, because our heart is clean, because we love, Lord, because we trust in you completely, Lord, that we will go and reach out to people, Lord, and show them the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that we can know that you are good. And that you are wonderful, Lord. And that your thoughts to us is good thoughts, Lord. That you want to bless us, Lord, and prosper us, Lord. That you don't want to bring evil over our paths, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can just come before you, Lord, and just submit to your goodness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bless you, Lord. I bless you for every person here tonight, Lord. And I just feel if anyone feels they just want someone to agree with them in prayer, please come forward. We want to pray with you.